Good choice of hymn. Wonderful. Go back to John 4 now, John chapter 4. This is a familiar story. This is my story. This is the story of many in here. How that Christ was at a well waiting for them to come. You know, the scripture says they shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. The wells. Christ is the water, but where he is found is his church, his little oases, his little wells in the wilderness. This well, it says Jacob gave him. Well, Isaac is the one that dug it. You remember? He dug all those wells. Who's Isaac? That's the son of promise. That's a picture of Christ. And the church is a well that he has digged. And where he has found the water of life. Hey, every verse is significant. Every word. Nothing's just for information. I told you we read all of that together because look at verses 1 through 3. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more of the disciples than John, though he did not baptize, his disciples did. But it says he did. But he didn't. His disciples did. But no, he did. They're just instruments in his hands, right? Anybody's truly baptized, he did it. And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He left there. The Lord left there because he left John there. John's not in prison yet. He left John there. John's his preacher. He left these people in good hands. Whose hands? John's hand? No. His hands. John is in his hand. John was sent by him. Just like baptism. Do you understand what I'm getting at? John was a man sent from God. How do you know? He preached Christ. He pointed people to Christ. That was his only message, Christ. And he said, my joy is fulfilled. Why? They quit following me and followed Christ. That's why I'm here. That's how you know. See, he's God's man, and he left there. He left the people with this man. Aren't you glad that God still has his men? I went and heard two men sent by God. I was so glad to just sit there. If this place was not here, I think I'd move to one of those two places. Or Spring Lake. There are some men sent by God. They themselves are in God's hands. And God has given some new birth, some life to some dead sinners who've confessed Christ in believer's baptism. But who was it? Those men? No. It's the Spirit of God, the Lord himself. You see that? I've never really known why that says that. Well, now I think I do. No rivalry, you know, with our Lord and his disciples. They were laborers together. Alright, now verse 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. He must. Why? Is that the shortest route? No. He must because he has a predetermined meeting. A predestined meeting with someone. He's got to go there. He must go there. There's a well there that he put there. A place that he's going to go. Where he's going to sit on that well. And he's going to wait. He's waiting on someone. Not that, you know, he's hoping and wishing and that they'll come to him. He knows they're coming. Because that this person that's coming to meet him that he's waiting on was given to him by the Father. This is the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 to come in to this world to save one lost sheep. He said, I must bring them. All that the Father gives, they shall come to me. I must go find my lost sheep. And this is one of them. Could have been a man, but it's a woman. And that's fitting because we're all the bride of Christ. And if we're his, we're going to meet him. And the Lord, the scripture says, waits to be gracious. He waits for the time ordained by him, a predestined meeting to come and speak to a lost sinner. He must find it. He must. His glory is at stake. His word's at stake. He must. Just as the scripture says, he must suffer. He must suffer, or they will. He must find them, or they'll stay lost. He must call them, or they won't call on him. He must. He must needs go to them for them to come to him. Now, this is the Christ of Scripture. All the elect were given to him. Put where they are. They will come. They will hear his voice. They will be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment as it relates to Jesus Christ. They will hear his voice. They will be convicted of their sin like this woman. And they'll ask. They'll ask for life. They'll find out who he is. And they'll ask. And he'll give it. He'll give it. And they'll go away. They'll drop everything and everyone. And they'll never be the same. They must. Now verse 5 and 6 says he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Who gave this land to who? Who gave this land? Who's this land belong to? Jacob? Oh, come on, man. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to the Lord. The Lord gave this land to Jacob, who gave it to his son, who gave it to the people of God. All things are of God, the Lord. Man received nothing. John just said it. Man can receive nothing except to be given him. Jacob's well was there. This woman's going to be talking about Jacob. This woman's going to be talking about the well. This woman's going to be talking about where to worship. When she leaves this place, she's going to be talking about who? Not a place, not a thing. She's going to be talking about him. That's how you know when you've heard his voice. That's how you know when you quit just being religious and you've heard his voice. We just, Ephraim, and Hosea, the whole story is about an adulterous woman Ephraim represents. And in the end, Ephraim said this, the very last verses says, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him. Okay. I'm having a good time already. Jacob's well was there. This well, Jacob, who's Jacob? Who's Jacob? Oh, God said, Jacob have I loved. Old Gabe, young Gabe preached on that. Jacob have I loved. Who's Jacob? A cheat, a supplanter, a man that didn't give God any thought, but God. God said, I've loved Jacob. I've chosen Jacob. Jacob's running. The Lord's going after him. The Lord finds him, wrestles him down to the ground. Well, didn't Mac love this? Every sinner does. Every son of Jacob does. Wrestled old Jacob down to the ground, said, what's your name? Jacob! Not anymore. You're mine. Prince. King and a priest and son and prince with me. You're mine from here on. You're not your own. You're going to be bought with a price, Jacob. Made a covenant concerning you. You're mine. Jacob's well wasn't the only thing here. It wasn't Jacob. It's the Lord. Jacob's God is sitting on this well. Jacob's Lord is sitting there. The very one that wrestled him to the ground is sitting there right now. Oh, may he be sitting on this well this morning. And draw someone to himself. It says in verse 6, he was wearied with his journey. Oh my. How far had he come? How far did the Lord come? All the way from heaven down to this earth. Oh, how far he condescended. John just said that he cometh from above. Why would he come down here? Why would he go to this despicable place? Why would he go to this to save this one Samaritan woman? Why? Because he's God. Didn't you love that article in the bulletin this morning? Why does he have mercy? Because he's God. Why would he love anybody? Because he's God. There's nobody lovable, but he loved because he's God. He was wearied with his journey. From glory to earth to the cross and back to glory. It's the sixth hour. Everything is significant. It was the sixth hour. About the sixth hour. What about the sixth hour? That's noon. That's high noon. That's where the sun is shining in all its glory. This woman is in darkness. She's going to see the Son of Righteousness. He's come with healing in his wings. John, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is about to shine in her heart right now. Right now. Sixth hour. Well, it says in parenthesis, his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Okay? Why? He sent them away on purpose. Why? Because salvation between the Savior and a sinner in it. Salvation between the Lord, the shepherd, and his lost sheep. And when you hear from the Lord, you're going to hear from him. It might be through an under-shepherd, but it's going to be him. He's going to get man out of the way. Man's going to get out of the way. Man's glory, man, everything. The Lord himself, he said, my sheep are going to hear my voice. He says that hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. This woman is dead and sick. She's going to hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Oh, may he do that this morning to me. Parenthesis. They've gone away to buy meat. He came to this well. This woman came to get water. Oh, didn't he say? Him. He said, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? The meat of God, like the water of God, is sitting on the well. He said, my body is meat indeed, drink indeed. In 1 Chronicles 16, David brought back the ark of the Lord. He was so happy. He was dancing before that ark, singing, dancing to people. All Israel, God's people, were so happy. That's the gospel. They were so happy and all that. David's wife despised him. But anyway, it says after he came in and put the ark, it says he dealt to every man a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. These three things are one. Christ is the bread of life. He said, my flesh is meat indeed, and oh, the wine of his blood. May he deal that to us this morning. Then cometh a woman. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. There cometh a woman to draw water. Our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. She came to this well. She came to draw water. Oh my. She's being drawn. She didn't even get any water. She never put her well down in that bucket. She dropped it. She came to draw water. She ended up being drawn. Didn't our Lord say that? No man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. He's drawn her. Oh my. Now women drew water in the early part of the day. This was noon. Women didn't come to the well to get water for the day at noon. The day's over. Right? You come in the morning. Cool of the day. Plus you need the water to cook with and to wash with. The rest of the day, don't you? You don't come at noon. Well, why is she coming at noon, at the hottest part of the day? Why? She didn't want to see anyone. She's a notorious woman. She's known by everybody in town. She's been married 5 times, and the man she's living with, a fella, and everybody knows her, and she's the talk of the town. She's a sinner. Everybody knows. She's ashamed. She doesn't want to see anybody. She doesn't want to meet anybody. She doesn't want to run into anybody. She doesn't want to run into anybody. Oh, thank God she ran into somebody. She does meet somebody. She doesn't know him. She knows her. She didn't want to see anybody. He came to see her. He came to look on her. She didn't want to speak to anybody. Oh, people come to church all the time and sit on the back row. They don't want to see anybody. And when they hear the Lord, they'll come to the front row. They want to see him. They want to hear him. Can't get close to that. Well, she said. Now, she's religious. Everybody is. Have you ever met anybody who wasn't religious? Have a blessed day. You know why they say that? They want you to know they're religious. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, he looked like a Jew. He didn't look, these pictures of this blue-eyed Caucasian, you know, leaning over a rock, praying, that, it's not only an idol, it's not even a close semblance to the Lord Jesus Christ the way he was. It's an idol. Anybody that has one of those doesn't know Jesus Christ. You wouldn't put a picture of your mother, my mother's got gray hair. Would I put just anybody's picture up there? Said, that's my mother. Would you? No. No. There is no physical description of Jesus Christ in this Bible. Why? There were no cameras back then. That's on purpose. Because any depiction of him, any description of him is an idol. He said, make no images. Didn't he say that? Make no images. Don't put, because men worship those things instead of the person. Like this woman worshiped a place rather than a person. But he looked like a Jew. There was no form. He had no form, no comeliness, no beauty. You wouldn't have been drawn to him. He had dark, curly hair. He did not have long hair. That's not in the Bible. You know that? It's not in the Bible. You say he was what's the word? He didn't have long hair. The scripture says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Short, black hair, curly. He was black because Song of Solomon says so. Raven's head. Dark eyes, dark skin. Jew. He didn't look any different than the other Jew. You wouldn't. She recognized this man's a Jew. But she didn't see, like the tabernacle in the wilderness, she did not see who he really was. Like the tabernacle was covered with a badger skin. Just looked like an ordinary tent. Oh, God's going to have to bring you inside. Show you the glory of God. And that Lord, our Lord's going to reveal himself to this woman. You're just a Jew. You're a Jew and you ask drink of me. See, this woman is she's an Arminian. She didn't know the Lord. She didn't know God. Didn't know the Christ of Scripture. She said, you asked me. He didn't ask her. He didn't ask her. Did he? Read it with me. Verse 7. Give me to drink. Didn't he say that? Kings don't ask servants anything. This is his well. This is his wife. She doesn't know it. He's telling her, give me. It's my well, my water. You serve me. Give me to drink. This is the Christ of Scripture. This is the Jesus Christ of Scripture. He's not asking anybody for anything, for favor. He doesn't need a favor. He doesn't need anything from us. He's gonna show her, I don't need anything you have. I have everything you need. Isn't it? This is the Christ of Scripture. This is the real Jesus Christ. If you've confessed, if you've believed, anyone less than this, wrong Jesus. Wrong one. If you confessed in baptism this other Jesus whom you led into your heart, you weren't baptized by Jesus Christ. No, sir. And none of his true servants would do such a thing. They wouldn't do it. They ask you, why? Brother, was it David? Yeah, David Edmondson told his story. He said, Brother Cody, a young girl came to him down in Mexico and said she wanted to be baptized. She's very young. And wisely, Cody was, going to question and see, why? Why do you want to be baptized? You need to know why. You need to know why. You take it to the Lord's table. You need to know why. And she said, because I believe that Jesus Christ is God. And Brother David asked him, what'd you do? What'd you do, Cody? He said, I baptized her. Salvation has come when you realize Jesus, he's God. And you're in his hands. Everything and everyone is in his hand. Your salvation, your hope. To say that he's God, that he's Lord, to say that he's the Son of God, is to say it all, isn't it? He didn't ask her. He told her. Okay? She's confused. She said, you have no dealings with us Samaritans. She was amazed that this Jew would have dealings with Samaritans. Brother Kelly, a little while later, she's going to be amazed that the Son of God would come down to this despicable place and come all this way to save her. She's going to thank God to high heaven that he came sitting on a well to wait on me. Why would he do such a thing? Because he's God, that's why. You have no God. How can God have dealings with sinners? Jesus Christ. Only way. And he said, don't you love these words? Verse 10, he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked. No, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, if you knew who it is, see, if you knew the gift of God, see, the wages of sin is death, isn't it? We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's what we've earned. That's what we all deserve. Somebody say, but God. The gift of God is eternal life. What is the gift of God? It's Him. It's Christ. The gift of his righteousness. Here, I'm covering you, Adam, Eve. I'm covering you with the skin of another. Here, Adam and Eve, I'm shedding this blood of another to pay for your sin. Adam, what are they doing? Nothing. John, what are they doing? Looking. They're just looking. Wondering. Beholding. The gospel. Their salvation. The covering of their sin. Putting away their sin by the sacrifice of another. If you knew, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto you, you would ask. And that's why no preacher of God stands up and asks people to do anything. No preacher of God sent by God stands up and won't you come forward. No, sir. No preacher of God stands up and has an altar call. No, sir. He preaches the altar. Right. He preaches the one who must draw. He preaches the one. All he does is say, thus saith the Lord. Look, behold, the Lamb of God. That's what John did. And what happened? The Spirit of God moved. He brings them. On Pentecost, they all heard Christ high and lifted up. Lord, in everybody in his hand, whom they had crucified, every one of them. And then Peter didn't ask anybody to do anything. He said, now won't you accept it? Now won't you come forward? Now won't you let him into your heart? Make him Lord of your life? No, he preached him as Lord. What happened? They asked. They all asked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? If thou knewest, you'd ask. And he'd just give. He'd give you.
living water. Living water.
Well, the woman said in verse 11 unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See here, she's an ignorant, Arminian, lost, religious woman. Why are you asking me? You don't have anything to draw with. Poor ignorant woman. Oh, she's going to know, isn't she? Even if she's been known, she's going to know that she's the one that doesn't have anything to draw with. That she's the one that's unable. She says the well is deep. There's nothing man's ever dug this deep. Nothing man's ever done this deep. Shallow. Cisterns. Isn't it? Polluted water. No, there's nothing deep about man. Nothing deep. Oh, but oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Nothing to draw with. No, he didn't bring a bucket. He didn't need a bucket. He didn't come to get water. He came to give water. He didn't come to draw water. He came to draw her. And she didn't know it. She said, from whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Our Lord answered, verse 13, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh, is he greater? Oh my, she doesn't know how great this one is. Brother David preached on this, on Joseph. Brother David preached, and when Pharaoh said, can we find such a one as this? Is there a man in who is such wisdom and such glory that can reveal all dreams and all? Joseph standing there right beside him. I believe the Lord saved that Pharaoh. That Pharaoh. I believe the Lord saved him. Like Nebuchadnezzar. Melody. See, that Pharaoh died when the children of Israel, right before they were brought in bondage. And that Pharaoh, he said, is there any, can we find such a one as this? Pointing to Joseph. Nope, there he is. Joseph. You hear that? Can we find such a one as, art thou greater than our, greater? Oh man. There's none greater. None greater. God hath given him a name which is above every name. I'll tell you how greater he is. See, our God is greater than their God. This is what the scripture said. Our God is greater than their God. Their gods are idols. They can't do anything. You carry them around. He carries us. You have to do it for him. He does everything for us. You have to accept him. We accept, he accepts us. Our God. You have to let him say, our God doesn't let anybody, we can't let our God do anything. He lets us. Our God. He's greater. His work is greater. He finished the work. That other Jesus tried and failed. He put down a down payment. That won't work. Our Lord paid it all. He's greater. He's greater. He's higher. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's greater, all right. He's the great one. And his salvation is great. Who's it for? Great sinners. Helpless sinners. Hopeless sinners. Like this woman. Lost sinners. Damned, doomed, and dying sinners. There's no hope, no God without Christ in this world. Say it again. But God. Has come for her. I wish we'd filled that baptistry. I'd like to get back in it this morning, right now. This is my God. He came to me. I didn't realize. Like Jacob said, God was in this place and I didn't know it. Whosoever drinketh of this water, no matter what it is, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, jobs, possessions, houses, lands, pleasure, lust, whatever it is, it won't satisfy. You got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. I just had a little of this water a while ago. I just drank. It's half full. I didn't say half empty. I'm still thirsty. I'm still thirsty. A little while from now, I won't be thirsty. This water will not quench my thirst. I gotta keep, you can't go 3 days without water. I'm thirsty, thirsty. Our Lord said, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, he has to give it. First thing he has to do is create a thirst. Oh, how blessed are they that hunger and thirst. This woman's not thirsty yet. She keeps coming back to the same well. Back to the same well. She keeps going to the place where she's worshipped all her life, with her family, with her daddy, her grandfather. This is where we've always worshipped. This is my daddy's church. This is my mother's church. This is the gospel I believe. It ain't no gospel in it. She's going to drop that water pot. She's going to leave this that well. She's heard him. Oh, the water I give, the Lord said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him or her shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The water that I give, who is it? What is it? It's him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Belief on the Son. Love for the Son. Need for the Son. Hunger and thirst for the Son. A desire to be with the Son, to want to live with the Son, that you look to the Son, to serve the, it's life. Christ is your life. There's not a day go by that I don't want water. Do you? They say you need to drink 8 cups of water. I drink more than that. Not because they tell me to. Not because man says you're supposed to. I'm thirsty. Well, Christ in you. Gotta have it. Wellspring of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Well, the woman said unto him, verse 15, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me this water. She still doesn't know. And the Lord said, but he created an interest. When the Lord begins to work on someone, he begins to create an interest. He begins to create a need. And what he'll do is he'll show that person, man, woman, young person, who he is and what they are, a sinner. And he'll convince them of their own sin and show them their need of Christ and show them the vanity of this world and how everything and everyone in it, it just won't satisfy, and give them a need for the water of life. And they begin to enjoy the Word of God. Enjoy the preaching of God. The preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of Christ. And I hope the Lord, I believe maybe the Lord's doing that, maybe one of our young people. I hope so. But he creates a need, a desire to hear the Word of God. And then he's going to convict of sin. See, salvation is from sin. And Christ came in this world to save sinners. And this is when the Lord speaks to someone. This is what the Lord shows someone. That they're a sinner. Because that's why Christ came. He didn't just come to make us, you know, happy and all of that, but came to save from sin. So, this woman, our Lord said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered. And I think she paused. I have no husband. The Lord said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had 5 husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You're living with someone in sin. And it is sin. The Lord forbids it. And that saidst thou truly. Thou hast no husband. You had no husband. He said that truly. And she doesn't know it. Her husband has come. Her Hosea has come. For her. Let me read to you. He said, Hosea, God through Hosea said, she'll follow after her lovers. She'll go after her lovers that she thinks have given her corn and wine. But he said, I gave it to her. He said, I'm going to destroy all this. I'm going to take it all away from her. He said, I'm going to visit her. And I'm going to allure her. I'm going to bring her into the wilderness. I'm going to bring her to a well in the middle of the day. And I'm going to speak comfortably to her. And he said, I'll sow her unto me. I'll have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And so I bought her. And I said, you're going to abide with me. Not be for another. You're for me. Her husband has come. Her true husband. In that thou saidst truly. But now you have one. You don't know me, but I know you. And I've come for you. Praise be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You said that truly. How many times have some of us been married? As we said before, all adulterers. But brethren, we're not our own. We're bought with a price, and our Maker is our husband. Thank God. He's come for us. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You seem to know things. Well, she said, I got a question for you. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and she's trying to get off subject her sin. She's not asking a good question at all, is she? What about this place? What about this? What about that? What about that? Wait a minute. What are you going to do about your sin? Your adultery. She's getting off the subject here. People ask me all sorts of questions. Our father said here, I'm a Methodist and you're a Baptist. Now, you know, I'm Catholic. And you say this place, that place, where y'all men ought to. He said, woman, look at verse 21. I love it. Woman, believe me. Salvation is not what you believe, it's who. It's not what you know, it's who. It's not where, it's who. It's not a place or a thing, it's a person. And the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. See, true worshipers, they worship God, they rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in things, places. He said in verse 22, you worship you know not what. Isn't that true of most people? You know not what. So many looking for this, looking for that. I hear it all the time. We're looking for a church. Looking for a church. Looking for a church. Quit looking for a church. Call on the name of the Lord. Look for Him. Our Lord said, seeking me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Lord, I want to know you. And he said this, salvation is of the Jews. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? All of God's people know that. All Jews know what that means. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but inwardly. All Jews know what this means. Jews, salvation of the Jews. What's that? Sovereign election. Number one. All the elect know who does the electing. Sovereign elect, Jew. All right? Jacob have I done. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Ishmael. He's not the God. The Muslims don't know him. Ishmael. No. The Hindus don't know him. They worship Krishna. The Buddhists don't know him. They worship Buddha. No. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He revealed himself to Abraham. Isaac, the son of promise, Christ. Jacob's an old sinner saved by grace. Every one of God's people knows. The Jews had the worship of God. He revealed to them. They didn't find it out. He revealed to them. He came to them. All right? He said, you got to have three things to come to me. Three things to worship God. Every Jew knows it, knew that. They know it. They don't know. Outward Jews don't know that now. They don't. They're not sacrificing lambs. They quit. Why? Daniel said they would, and the Lord put an end to it. But every Jew knew that you have to have a tabernacle, you have to have a high priest, and you have to have a sacrifice, a lamb, a burnt offering. Every Jew, you don't come anywhere, you come to God's temple. Not anybody can offer up the sacrifice. The high priest. And it's not just anything, it's not flowers and vegetables, it's blood. Every Jew knew that. Every Jew still knows that. Every spiritual Jew still knows that. Salvation is of the Jew. We got to have three things, and these three are one. Jesus Christ. He's the place. He's our temple. He's the priest, the high priest. There is no other. And he's the blood. He's the burnt offering. And boy, when you meet the Christ, when you hear the truth, when you hear his voice, you'll go away knowing salvation's of the Jews. It's all in Christ. The hour is coming, verse 23, now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Will he find them? He sure will. Where will he find them? Sitting on a well, coming to a well. That's where you'll meet him. You'll hear from Christ. Well, the woman said then, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Holy One of Israel. I've heard of him. It's coming. When he comes, when he's come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, this man said unto her, I that speak unto thee am. I am. They said to our Lord one time, they said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He didn't come for them. He said as plain as he could. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. He said it very plainly. They didn't hear him. They didn't believe him. They didn't bow to him. They didn't ask. He didn't give it. Why? He didn't come for them. But he came for this woman. If you knew, you'd ask. She did. Give me. And now she doesn't know him, but he tells her, who are you? I know you're a prophet, but who are you really? I am that I am. I am your prophet. I am that prophet of whom Moses spake. I am him of whom all the law and the prophets speak of. I am your prophet. I am your priest. I am your king. I am your sacrifice. I am your temple. I am your Lord. I am your wisdom. I am come. I am your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption, your redeemer, your covenant head. I am your pitch. I am your atonement. I am your ark. I am that serpent on a pole. I am that I am. Name something. I'm it. And I'm yours. I'm come for you. What's she do? Look at verse 28. She dropped her water pot. She forgot all about coming here for water. Oh my. She doesn't need a water pot anymore. She went her way. The disciples, isn't this sad? They marveled that he talked with this woman. They forgot. They knew her too. Everybody knew her. He marveled it. That's why he kept bringing them down, didn't he? He told them, except you repent, you'll perish. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And she dropped her water pot and went her way into the city. And what'd she say from then on? You know, if she's talking to her neighbors before, she'd talk about the weather. If she, you know, went to her little place of worship, she'd talk about whatever. The programs or the entertainment or whatever. Who's she talking about now? Come see a man. And I hope for those of you whom the Lord has spoken to, if somebody asks you, why do you go there? Where do you go? I go up here for a place on the hill. Why? Why do you go there? I hope you'll say, because he makes me look to the Lord Jesus Christ. that I've heard his voice there. And I keep hearing his voice there. And it's like a well where I draw water. That's Christ himself. That's why. Okay. Well, John, you come.